Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, we're back with Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is a man on a mission to master his business and himself. He is the founder of Stoic Financial, a real estate investment firm in the Washington, D.C. area. He's also a student of martial arts and currently pursuing a journey towards self-mastery. He likens the discipline and awareness required when being attacked by four people at once to being faced with a business negotiation or a personal crisis. This is truly an interesting conversation, and I know that you will enjoy it. Now, let's hack Samir Sharma. I want to thank today's awesome sponsor, FreshBooks, not only for sponsoring Hack the Entrepreneur, but also for personally helping me fix one of my biggest problems. I am absolutely terrible at staying on top of my bookkeeping and accounting for my business. Now, rather than losing receipts and handing my accountant a giant box of papers at the end of the year, FreshBooks has an amazing app for my phone that lets me instantly take pictures of my receipts and sort them with the touch of a single button. FreshBooks is designed for small business owners and is the number one cloud accounting solution that helps millions of entrepreneurs and small business owners to save time and get paid faster. FreshBooks integrates directly with three things that I use every day in my business: PayPal, Stripe, and MailChimp. To start your 30-day free trial today, go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And we are back on Hack the Entrepreneur. And today I have a very special guest. Welcome to the show, Samir.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Okay, we're going to jump right into this, Samir. Mm-hmm. As an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I would say the one thing is probably being authentic to who I am and pretty much owning all my shortcomings and quirks, as I'd say, sort of. I'll relate it to a Japanese aesthetic called wabi-sabi. I don't know if you've heard of that or not.
No.
But this phrase wabi-sabi, if you Google it, I'm sure you'll get plenty of information. But the premise is that you embrace the beauty and the imperfections of things. And if you ever look at Japanese art or sculpture or even the principle of Zen meditation, it's all about embracing what's impermanent and what's fleeting. And in that, you find its beauty. And I think for me, getting to where I am was all about saying, you know, who the heck am I, and good or bad, and how do I completely own this and make something of this?
And so I find this really fascinating because not in the Japanese, I mean, yours sounds maybe deeper than the way I'm thinking about it, but I don't think it is. And it's something that when I started out in business, I thought I had to be sort of a certain way.
Right.
And in the last year or year and a half, I've gone back to my total roots of Johnny Naster, the guy who plays drums in a punk rock band. And I grew up doing that, traveling the country, doing it. And I thought I couldn't be that person and a successful entrepreneur. And I'm finding that when I can find total congruency with that Johnny, that my business thrives and people just respond to me better.
Right.
And it took me a long time to realize that. And that's unfortunate because I think I could be a lot further ahead if I had realized it sooner. So how did you go inside of Samir and find who that actual authentic Samir is? What's the process?
I don't think there is a formula. Unfortunately, I think everyone is looking for a quick tip or trick or the seven steps of this, but really it's a lot of sort of really digging into yourself, a lot of sort of self-reflection and really being honest with who you are. I think all of us, myself included, you know, we start off our careers or our lives thinking, okay, you know, I want to work in the corporate world, or this is what I'm told is correct. So let me get the skills I need to sort of fit into this mold and climb the ladder or whatever goal you set for yourself. And, you know, I did that for a long time. I worked in corporate America, got a master's degree, you know, followed the sort of straight and narrow path. But what I realized was, you know, even the higher up I got, the more unhappy I was. And in the sense that I just didn't feel like I was being myself. And I think it came to a point where I said, you know, I just don't want to get up and put on the suit and tie and pretend to be somebody I'm not. And so it really just came to a point and says, who the heck am I? And, you know, aside from asking that question to myself, in terms of process, what I did was I reached out to a couple of very close friends and asked them. I said, you know me and you've been my friend for a long time. Why are you my friend? You know, what about me do you like? What makes me unique? And I guess it was sort of, you could call it a questionnaire of some kind. I had a few questions that, you know, I would ask them. And then from the responses I got from my friends and colleagues, you know, there were certain patterns emerging that I saw. And I said, oh, okay, this is interesting. And one of my friends, one of the phrases he wrote down was somatic genius. Now, no one has ever used the word genius to describe me in any context. So I said, okay, let me give this some serious thought here. And the more I explored it, the more I realized, you know what, that is who I am. Not necessarily genius, but looking back at my training as a martial artist, as a yogi, you know, as an athlete, I said, this is a very inherent part of who I am. And it informs everything I do in my life. And that's why I've been training for almost 20 years. It's not for the physical stuff. It's for who you become through the process. And for me, it was really a question of saying, okay, I've done the straight and narrow. I thought that this was the path to success for me. This is what I was told. And like you, I couldn't reconcile at the time, could I really be myself and still be successful? And for me, it was just a point I was fed up. You know, I just got sick of it. I said, screw it. I'm just going to get up and be who I am and hopefully get paid to be who I am. And that's where the whole thing sort of came about, where these forces kind of collided. And I came up with this idea of coaching and this methodology of self-mastery that I teach through my experience as a martial artist.
Excellent. And I fully agree you need to sort out who you are personally. And I find that, I guess, the easiest part of finding out who you are is it's easy for us to look inside and figure out what we're really good at, right? But let's take it the other way. Because it's easy to find out what we're good at. And then every blog post now, an expert right now, is telling us this whole 80-20 rule. You're supposed to do what you're good at and delegate the rest. Mm-hmm. So, Samir, can you tell me something that you were not good at?
Something that I am not good at. I'm not good at getting into like sort of mundane operations of things, of business. I tend to see myself more as a creative person, more intuitive and a creative person. And, you know, just through a brute force, I force myself to learn sort of those operations so that eventually I could delegate them. So things like the accounting, the bookkeeping side of things, the more quant side of things, I said, okay, this isn't the best use of my time because my skill set lies somewhere else. Let me at least have a working knowledge of these things so that when I do delegate it or hand it off to somebody, I can speak intelligently about it. And I guess that's one of the things I learned, you know, through business school and also in my other business as a real estate investor. You know, I can't be on site all the time. I can't be putting up the drywall and painting and putting in the utilities and all this stuff. So I said, okay, let me take a step back and survey this landscape more like a general. And so the general, you know, knows what everyone does, but he doesn't have to shoot the rifle. So I said, let me learn that skill set of managing and delegate the rest. So for me, it's sort of the more quantitative administrative side of the business that I prefer not to do. And I know there are people much more qualified to do.
Excellent. And I guess you would probably agree with me the fact that as an entrepreneur and as like, you really don't need to be good at, say, even 99% of your business. You need to be really, really good at what you are good at. And
right.
Kind of master that part of it, right? And that's, I don't know, it's something that I've struggled with where, oh, it's like, well, what if I try and do 30% of my business, but I'm not good at those things. And I've learned that I'm really not good at very many things.
Yeah.
I'm good at one or two things. That's about it. And the rest, I really just have to let go of. And I guess, delegate it, or else it just doesn't need to be done. Maybe it's just not important. Because it's important to someone else's business doesn't mean it's important to mine.
Right.
So I don't know. It's something I've struggled with. And
yeah, you know, it's sort of a catch-22, especially as an entrepreneur. If you're running a shoestring budget, let's say you don't have the funds to hire someone, you know, to do that stuff that you don't want to do. So there is a certain amount where you have to take it on yourself until you're in a position to say, all right, I'm done with this. Like marketing, for example, you know, I'm not a big fan of doing the marketing. So, you know, I would hire people to do that for me. But again, I do believe that even if you're going to delegate, understand what it is you're delegating. So if the person you're giving it to isn't doing a good job, at least you know that. And it's not, you know, you're not just going blind in that direction.
Right. Excellent. All right, Samir, let's move to work and structure of work. Mm-hmm. You, just from talking to you, it seems like you're probably a fairly organized person and structured. Maybe just that's what I think of as martial arts. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't really know enough about it. But for a workday like today, can you walk us through, say, the first 30-minute routine you have to set yourself up for a productive day?
Sure. Usually my first 30 minutes after I get up, you know, I'll make a cup of coffee, I'll sit, I'll play some music that I enjoy and just kind of get very sort of settled and centered. And then I'll go out to the park near my house and I'll practice my Qigong meditation and my Tai Chi. And that usually takes me about an hour or so. And then I'll come back and get in front of my computer and figure out what I need to do for the day. So unlike a lot of people, you know, I don't run to my inbox and see what my email is. I know a lot of people do that. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just not something that I do. So for me, it's more going back to my training. You know, what works for me is getting centered, going out, training, practicing, and bringing that energy back to the work I need to do for the day.
Excellent. What music would you listen to?
I usually put on something like Indian classical music or something kind of very mellow that kind of helps me get the day started.
Nice.
I usually don't listen to the news. I'm not a news person. You know, if I need to know what's going on, I'll ask somebody. Yeah. It's a good way to start a conversation.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's a great way of looking at it. I'm not a news person either because it's just not necessary for me. And too much of it's just a negative drain, I think, on me. And you're right. That's actually a great way to start a conversation. So it's an extra bonus.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move to struggles and fears. As entrepreneurs, Samir, and I mean, as humans in general, one of our greatest struggles is the fear of being wrong, making mistakes and failing. Uh-huh. Can you think back to a time you were wrong and tell us how you got through it?
Time that I was wrong, man, there's so many. Let's see.
It's good. That's what we want.
Yeah. I guess there are many times where for me, being wrong goes back to not trusting myself or not going with my instinct. I was wrong because I was using my head more than I should have. And the way around that for me was, first of all, accepting I was wrong. And, you know, it's one of, again, one of the principles that I teach and employ is the whole idea of non-resistance. And so that applies not only to what's outside of you, but also to what's inside of you. So when you do screw up, own it completely. Because if you can't own it, you can't change it. And so for me, that's the process is, okay, I screwed this up. You know, let's say I miscalculated. I remember one of the first projects I was doing as an investor, I was renovating a house and I was flipping it and I was running the numbers and all of a sudden I was like 20 grand over budget. And I said, wait a second, how did that happen? And then I went back and I realized, oh, I didn't account for this and I didn't account for that. And I said, all right, what's in front of me? This is what is. How do I, you know, make a purse out of a pig's ear here? So I totally had to just own it and say, okay, this is what I screwed up. And then just take that and run with it and say, all right, how do I change it going forward? So for me, it's acceptance.
Nice. That's an amazing answer. Yeah, I think that's the essence of what I'm, I guess, trying to get to with this question is because lots of times people make, well, we all make mistakes all the time. And the ones who can accept that and just move on, not like have it drag you down for a day or a week or a month mm-hmm. of just like, I can't believe I did that. And just move. Like, there's nothing you can do to change it, right? You can't all of a sudden go back, Samir, and be 20 grand under budget. Like, you just can't. It's done. So why not accept it, right? But it's a really hard thing to learn. It's a really hard thing to learn.
It is. Oh, definitely. It's definitely. But it's funny how it's those situations where that's where your biggest growth happens. I mean, I can tell you, I have never made that mistake again on future projects. But, you know, it was an expensive lesson, but you know, there's a great deal of power in that when you do claim that for yourself.
Exactly. Okay, habits. You train, you meditate, you have, I think, a lot of positive habits. Can you tell me about one habit that you're trying to adopt into your life, but you've been struggling with recently?
One habit I'm trying. I guess for me, the habit of connecting more with people. And I guess what I mean by that is on the side of thinking, how can I connect with this person and be of service? This is something I had to consciously do because by nature, I'm a bit of a lone wolf. I always have been. And I tend not to rely on people for help or ask for help or things like that. And one thing I've learned as an entrepreneur is that, like you said, you can't do it all. And the habit of, number one, saying, all right, I can't do this. And then finding somebody who can help rather than seeing that as weakness, seeing that as, okay, you know, owning a part of you and then saying, okay, the real strength is in the asking. It's not in the holding on. And so that's a habit I'm working on developing more is seeking out help when I really need it versus trying to do it all myself.
So would seeking out help, do you mean like maybe hiring an employee or a VA, or would you go so far as to, I have this new project I want to start, maybe I should actually just partner with people who have specific skills that I don't?
Yeah, I mean, it could be something very simple as, you know, okay, I need a graphic designer. I'm not going to spend a week doing something this guy can do in an hour. So that could be a practical form of that habit. For me also, being an introverted person, being very introspective, I tend to wrestle with my own thoughts a lot, my own emotions. And so one thing my wife has really helped me with is being able to talk about how I feel more and being able to share, you know, when I am feeling vulnerable or, you know, I'm wrestling with some idea to bring it out into the open. That's not a habit that I grew up with and that I have. So being more open with my emotions is something that I've worked very hard on.
Nice. I don't want to be that guy because I'm a podcaster and I love podcasting, but I didn't actually realize what podcasting was doing for me until my second interview was Julian Smith, brilliant guy, brilliant author and businessman. And he said he podcasts, and I've realized this, and maybe this would help you, I don't know. And you could maybe do this without podcasting if you wanted, but I've learned because I'm also very introverted and introspective in that way. And I have a hard time getting the thoughts out. But the more I speak about them, and now being able to have this podcast, I can, when I vocalize my ideas over and over, they become more and more and more clear to me.
Right.
And I found that it's an amazing thing. And I didn't realize that about me. And I didn't realize, I think, that that was my drive, why I actually started a podcast. This is my second podcast now, because I think I need to be able to talk about this stuff more and more and more. And the more I do it, the more clarity I get. And I don't know, maybe that would work for you and help you just to, it's an interesting way of thinking about yourself that by talking to smart people like you, my ideas personally and myself becomes clearer to me.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think for me, the medium for that was writing in a journal. And once I, you know, started my website was writing blog articles. And that was a way for me to get ideas and content out there in a safe way that I didn't feel like I would be attacked or something by that. But yeah, any medium like that, I think, is very helpful.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. And I guess some people are better on print and writing than they are, say, vocalizing it. But I think you do have to find that way to find the clarity. And I mean, we can talk to our wives as much as we want, and we can, which is great. But I mean, there's certain things that you got to talk to. I mean, my wife just only wants to hear about my business so much. I know it. I know she loves to, but it's like, at some point it's like, okay, man, like,
yeah,
I get it. You're really, really into it.
Yeah.
So it's good to have other people. And I mean, it is the reason why I started this podcast, because I get to talk to people every day about business and it helps me personally. So, and luckily it's helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Sameer, we are sitting down 1 year exactly from today, and you are celebrating an amazing year you've had. Can you tell me what you accomplished to make that year so successful?
Wow. Good question. I think for me, that would really be getting this message out to a larger audience and making it accessible to people who otherwise wouldn't see it as something of value to them, whether that be through like professional speaking, doing workshops with companies, and really connecting with people and showing them the sort of universal application and the value in what it is that I do. And really literally changing people's lives that way, where they're just a different person for having met me.
Nice. That's bold, and I like bold goals. So we've heard a lot about you. We've heard somewhat about your business, and you want to spend the next year getting this message out, you say, to a lot of people. We've luckily, myself with this podcast, I've been really, really fortunate that it's taken off kind of quickly, and we have a lot of listeners listening to this. So could you just tell people what that message is you want out there, and then tell them where they can find out more about Samir and more about your business?
Sure. If I had to boil the message down, it would basically be master yourself and master your world. And for me, that really has been my entire journey in terms of where I am today. And you can find out more about that through my website. That's www.samirsharma.com. It's my name. There's a contact page. You can reach me through there as well. But really, it is before you seek anything outside of you, seek to master yourself. Everything follows from there.
I love it. Master yourself and master your world. Well said. I will link to your site for you in the show notes for everyone so they can easily access you. And just thanks so much for your time and coming on the show, Samir. This has been a lot of fun, and I think really beneficial will be to a lot of people.
Great. Thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it.
Samir, thank you so much again. I really, truly, truly enjoyed that. The idea of mastering oneself to master one's business is pretty profound, pretty deep, possibly deeper than I would usually get, but I think there's something to it. I think that, like anything in life, if you think about it enough or analyze it in the proper context, that it will take you to a deeper or maybe a clearer or more true understanding of that subject being, in this context, your business. So thank you so much, Samir. He said a lot of interesting things, but he said one thing, didn't he? Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
The way around that for me was, first of all, accepting I was wrong. And, you know, it's one of, again, one of the principles that I teach and employ is the whole idea of non-resistance. And so that applies not only to what's outside of you, but also to what's inside of you. So when you do screw up, own it completely. Because if you can't own it, you can't change it.
And that's the hack. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Samir, absolutely. If you can't own it, you can't change it. This is something I'm working on myself, but I have a 9-year-old daughter that, I mean, you've heard a lot about at this point. But there's always, no matter what kind of happens around her, oftentimes it's, yeah, but, yeah, but. And to me, it's, I keep explaining to her, it's like, you, even if it wasn't exactly your fault what went wrong, because I think this is great, I think this is big, that you still have to own it. Just yes, and then learn from it, because it's absolutely essential. You have to own your mistakes. Listen to people around you when you're at work, when you're just with friends or family. Listen to little tiny things that go wrong, and people try and deflect it to be somebody else's fault. If you know anybody who is successful in doing cool stuff, they take these things, they learn from them. We own our mistakes. We also own our, when we kick ass completely, yes, own it. Own it fully, but own everything that happens around you, because you will respect yourself more, people will respect you, and you will learn from these things, and you will take them to bigger, cooler places. Ownership of everything. Everything you do, everything you think, everything you say, and everything that kind of happens around you. If you have employees, everything that that employee does, you have to own their mistakes too. It's just how it works. If you can't do that, you can't change it, you can't grow, and you can't just absolutely kick ass like Samir and I want you to do. So thank you, Samir. That's powerful, cool, cool, cool stuff. And I absolutely love that. Thank you so much again for joining me. This means so much that there's so many of you out there listening, and I get to keep doing this. This is really cool. Heading into a new year very soon, And I've got some amazing guests lined up. It's going to blow my mind that I get to talk to these people, record it, and then release it to you. So stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun. HackTheEntrepreneur.com. Check it out. It's cool. If you haven't yet, actually, iTunes, wait, I have like, I think 219 five-star reviews at this point. I would love to hit, say, 250 or something. If you have a chance, if you're on your phone right now or on your computer, just go to iTunes, leave me a review. If you do, drop your Twitter name in there. You're at your name. So I can go to Twitter and say, thanks. I would love to connect with you, love to follow you, see what you're up to. So please leave your Twitter name in there so I can find you. Unfortunately, I can't respond to you on iTunes. So as I said, we have lots of amazing guests coming up very shortly. So stay tuned. While you're in iTunes, why not subscribe? If you haven't yet, subscribe to the show. Check it out. It helps a lot. Gets us more exposure in iTunes, which gets us more people listening, which gets us cooler guests. Until next time, though, thank you so much for everything. I truly do appreciate it. Reach out to me, Twitter, email, via the website, any way you possibly want to. The last two episodes, episode 37, I believe, and 38, I give out my cell phone number. You can text me or call me if you wish. Just reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you. Take care of yourself. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.